Podcast, the podcast for SeedSling.com. I am your host, R.D. Kulik, and with me here is the Dr. Doom to my Reed Richards or Johnny Storm or Sue Storm or the Thane or whoever, and that's the other greatest host, Ty Kulik. How are you today, Ty?
Hi, everybody. Doing good. Why couldn't I be the Thane? I'm a big guy.
Yeah, I guess you could be, but after I say this, it's probably the only one of these characters you would want to be, because he's the only one that's not a pile of garbage in one way or the other. He's the only redeemable one, I guess we'll say.
Okay.
We're going to talk about the Fantastic Four. And when I mean the Fantastic Four, I'm talking about the comic book group, and I'm going to go through the best I can its history. Now, you asked off mic, if I don't know so much, why am I doing this topic?
Not just you, me too. For the listeners out there, I know very little about this topic.
Two reasons why. First off, a couple of days after this drops, we'll be on one of our other podcasts, First Watch Rewatch. You and I will be talking about the Roger Corman produced Fantastic Four movie. That is an incredible story. That is a great story. And a lot of people will, spoiler alert for you and everyone else, a lot of people say that has been the best Fantastic Four movie made so far, and it was made to not be released in the theaters. So there's that. And I wanted sometimes with, because we're getting a good audience with First Watch Rewatch, but I don't want to spend 2 hours going through the lore of these characters. I figured I'd do this podcast as a companion. And then people who normally listen to the Ex-Millennial Man podcast, comic books are a big thing in our lifetime. So this one, even though this one dates way back before I was born. So that's the first reason that I'm doing. Yeah. Second reason is about 2 months after this podcast drops, there will be the big Marvel extravaganza Fantastic Four First Steps. And It's got Pedro Pascal playing Reed Richards, Vanessa Kirby playing Sue Storm, the kid who was on played the big dude that sacrificed himself in Stranger Things. He plays Johnny Storm, and Eben Moss Bachrach, like Burt Bacharach, but different. Who from a variety of things. He's been in tons of stuff, but
yeah. He
played a role in Andor, and then he's won 2 Emmys and has been a big thing on the show. The funniest show, the biggest comedy of all. What the hell is it called?
The Bear.
The Bear.
I watched that show. Like, I love that show. There's comedic elements, but it is not a comedy.
Oh, it's the Emmys just being stupid. And it's like when they gave the West Wing or Frasier the award like 8 straight years, because they're like, well, we liked it last year. It must still be good. So anyways, But that's the other reason, is because I'm going to go see that movie. I actually just saw
I told my son what we were recording about, and he's like, oh, Mom and I are going to see that movie. And I kind of looked at him. He said, you and my sister can go too if you want to. I'm like, okay, we'll go with you.
Yeah. And it's going to be a big deal. I mean, you could argue it might be the biggest movie of the year. It is something people have been waiting for. I'm going to talk mainly in the second half about all the different TV shows and movies that it just doesn't seem they've ever been able to get this right. They've done Disney, Marvel, they've done Iron Man correctly. They've even done weird ass things like Guardians of the Galaxy correctly. Yeah. For the most part, they get things right. I even went to go see Thunderbolts. Or the new Avengers, whatever.
My son loved it.
Yeah, and I mean, it was okay. I was not bored. I will talk, big spoiler alert, about their post-credit scene when I get to the second half of this podcast and why it makes me less excited to see the Fantastic Four. That's the other reason, Ty, is I want to know more about this. I want to go into the movie theater not being like, oh, wait, what's that person? Why are they doing that? Since I decided to do this about a week ago, Ty, I have stared into the mouth of pure madness, because the background and the stories and everything about the Fantastic Four is absolutely insane.
Really?
And I'm going to tell people that I will probably get things not completely correct or not in the right order. So use this as, if you're listening to this, to be the, oh, RD and Ty know nothing, they're just stupid, you're going to have a great show.
Yeah, and this is your episode.
Or if you're listening to it to hear us talk about these topics that are important to our lifetimes, consider this a primer. Consider this Fantastic Four 101. It is not, I don't know nearly enough about this like I know G.I. Joe or Transformers or something.
Well, and for me, it's not Michigan football. It's not the weird movies I watch. This is, I know Michael Chiklis and Chris Evans and stuff like that, but I know very little about this franchise.
Well, this is, and I'm going to get a few names wrong, I will say this, but something about the Fantastic Four is they are kind of like the Big Bang of all Marvel heroes. They are like almost every major Marvel hero has either started in the Fantastic Four comic books or has been a member of their quote unquote team. And obviously the team is four. So yeah. What does that mean? But it does change up in the future. And I will tell you that. And I will say it's an interesting topic. I don't know if I come away from this that, oh, wow, I think I'm going to get into go read some Fantastic Four omnibus. No, I'm not going to do that. It's something that I will continue to do research on.
Sure.
So let me start first with Marvel Comics, okay? Marvel Comics actually started as the name Timely Comics in the 1930s. And in the very, very first Timely comic book, it was called Marvel Comics. It just wasn't the name of the company. And in this book, they introduced somebody called the Human Torch, who is not the Human Torch we will be talking about.
And
this is the first one, they introduced an anti-hero named Namor the Submariner.
Was Namor in the Black second, Panther, Wakanda Forever?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So the second, and this is the same Namor all the way through. Later on, during Timely Comics run, they created Captain America and became a big hit for them. Their Marvel comic book was a big hit. Captain America was a big hit. After World War II, for those that know comics, it's the superheroes kind of fell out of favor and people were doing like Western comics or like some of the ones on here is The Wizard, The Destroyer. They did introduce Vision around this time. And comics were really for little kids. Well, that changed in the late 50s where DC started to take its main core heroes like Superman, Batman, Green Lantern, The Flash, all this other stuff. And they would team them up in books together. Like there were a lot of books that had the Green Lantern and Green Arrow. After a while, they figured, okay, we're going to put them all together and we're going to create the Justice League of America. And it sold really well. Now, the story goes that the head of Timely Comics was on the golf course with the head of DC, and the head of DC is bragging about how great his superhero team is. And so the guy at Timely went over to his, I think it was like his cousin he hired when he was 16, Stan Lee or something like that, but he ended up going by Stan Lee.
Stan Lee never left.
Yeah, no. And he told him, okay, we need to create a team. Now, nobody knows for sure who created the Fantastic Four. Stan Lee says he created it, and Joe Kirby says he created it. And these are two men that, at the time of Kirby's death, they did not get along. And, I mean, Kirby ended up going to DC for a while. Or Jack Kirby, not Joe Kirby, sorry. Jack Kirby. And Jack Kirby's probably one of the, along with Stan Lee, one of the most famous comic book creators ever. Did he create who?
Jack Kirby. Batman?
No. That was Bill Finger, I think, created Batman.
All right.
Jack Kirby was associated.
The only reason I asked, Bobby Moynihan has a podcast on CBB World called Who Me with the Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a Batman thing. And I've heard, now that you say Bill Finger, because he always calls him Little Billy Finger, but mm-hmm. I also thought I've heard the name Jack Kirby on there before.
Oh, yeah. Jack Kirby is easily one of that. But Stan Lee, like you said, stayed at Marvel forever.
Well, I was doing the line from Simpsons, where he's the comic book guy's store.
Yes.
But he was there forever, yeah.
Yeah. And look, there is a thing that Kirby and Lee came up with at Marvel or Timely at the time, and they called it the Marvel Method, where one of them would draw all the panels, and then the other one would take the panels and put the dialogue in there. There is something to be said that both of them did co-create the Fantastic Four.
Sure.
Also, and this is from Stan Lee, he thought comics were too much for little kids and he wanted to make something that older kids or even adults could read. So he wanted to make the characters relatable. Whereas in DC, these were gods. These were just superpowered people from other planets for the most part.
Except for Batman.
Right. Yeah. Batman's, you know, I mean, I saw this like meme where it's like, some guy dresses Batman filling up his Batmobile and saying, you know, Batman late to the superhero team up because.
Hilarious. So I just finished watching the last two Christopher Nolan Batman movies. And as I'm watching, I'm thinking he's just a dude,
yeah.
a very, very rich, smart dude. But Yeah. That's the thing, like with the villains in those two, the Joker, Scarecrow, Bane's a little bit different, but I really like Christopher Nolan's Batman. So that's the only reason I bring that up.
Batman dates way back to the 30s also and has gone through, I mean, one day maybe I'll do a podcast just on the most insane Batman stories ever, like the one where he has to wear a different colored brightly bat suit every night. And the cover of the comic is Robin like, what's up with the rainbow Batman? I mean, it's...
Oh, my goodness.
So in 1961, the first Marvel comic came out, and it was the Fantastic Four number one. Now, the story behind the Fantastic Four is that Reed Richards is a super intelligent dude. And he sees that he's like one of the smartest men on the planet. And he sees that an asteroid's going to pass by Earth. And so he wants to take a spaceship to study it. And the U.S. is like, no, you're not going to do that. So he enlists the help of his good buddy, Ben Grimm, his girlfriend, Sue Storm, and her teenage brother, Johnny Storm. And they steal the spaceship.
All right.
They go. And when they get near the asteroid, they're hit with like this cosmic rays that changes them all. So Reed Richards, he can stretch really far. He was supposed to be a rip-off of the Plastic Man in DC. He can stretch his limbs and do all this other stuff. Sue Storm, at the beginning, could just turn herself invisible. And I'll talk more about that later. But as time has gone on, her powers are able to, like, control light. So she can create barriers and make other people invisible and stuff. Johnny Storm, his entire body is engulfed on flames. And whenever he wants. So... Kirby and Lee took the old Human Torch and just kind of gave him a different name and stuff. And being that fire is light, he can fly and do all the other stuff. Poor Ben Grimm, Reed's best friend, is forever changed into a big orange rock monster that they just decide to call the Thing. Now, in the first Fantastic Four comic, there is a very famous panel where they're all like, Johnny's like, I'm going to be the Human Torch. And Sue is like, I'll be the invisible girl, not woman. She was the invisible girl. Ben Grimm goes, I guess I'm the Thing. And then Reed goes, and I'll be Mr. Fantastic.
Yep, he gets the best name after the Thing.
And you would argue of the four of them, he's kind of got the dumbest of the powers.
The stretching stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that makes me think of Stretch Dude and Clobber Girls.
Yeah.
So, parts like giving dudes wedgies and making people pick their nose.
Yeah. And this was the birth of the Fantastic Four. And they were based in the Baxter Building in Lower Manhattan. It's, again, a fictional place, but New York is obviously a real thing. And as time would go on, they would have a robot called Herbie. Those that have seen the preview, it's Herbie and the Thing that are cooking dinner. So Herbie kind of becomes a big thing. And they have the Fantastic Car. And the thing that made the Fantastic Four different, though, than every other superhero, they didn't have secret identities.
So people just knew who they were?
Yeah, and that was on purpose. They were going to be like celebrities or something like that. And Reed felt like it would get people on their side if people knew who they were and stuff like that. Early on in the Fantastic Four, and also they had issues. They would fight. They would not agree on things. They had real world
issues. Them as a group had issues?
Yeah, right. The only time Superman and Batman would fight is if Lex Luthor got a hold of like some kryptonite that made Superman weird and he would then Batman.
Didn't they in one of the movies, didn't like Batman realize his mom, their moms had the same name and they fought over
I'm talking about the 1950s and 60s, but yes, that's extra stupid. That's a different layer of stupid. No, the point is the superheroes didn't fight. But this was, the Fantastic Four, they would argue, they would disagree on things. Reed would have a lot of emotional issues about hurting his girlfriend, her brother, and his best friend.
Yeah.
And then Ben Grimm, he could not like the Hulk. He can't change, he is forever this orange rock monster.
Oh, so that dude just became?
Yes.
Like he can't transform?
No.
Jeez, I didn't realize that. That's a bummer.
And he would get depressed. Again, this is a 1960s comic. He would have issues with it. Sue, which I'll talk about in a moment here, had the problems of being a woman in the 1960s and with three men around her that completely dismissed her, i.e. she's the invisible girl.
Mm-hmm.
And then Johnny, he was a teenager. He was a, and he would, annoy them, and he would be kind of an ass.
I mean, we both have teenagers.
Yes.
Anybody who has a teenager knows how they act.
This was a little different. This isn't what people were used to seeing in comic books. And this would directly lead to a few years later, you're going to have Spider-Man premiere. And Spider-Man was also a teenager who wasn't rich, who had to struggle, who lived with his aunt and uncle, and then had to see his uncle get killed. And Kirby and Lee were bringing in these real world like feelings, these real, so people could read these books and be like, yeah, this dude can stretch a lot or whatever, but I relate to him because I feel bad about this or, you know, whatever. No good team goes without a good enemy. And so the Fantastic Four would fight people like the Mole Men or Molecule Man and the Mole Men. They would bring Namor back. He would be an ongoing Fantastic Four villain. But in Fantastic Four number 5, the introduction of Victor Von Doom, Dr. Doom.
Best name ever. I love that MF Doom, the rapper, went by that for a while, too.
Yeah, he even had that mask. Yeah.
That's such a great villain.
Dr. Doom. And they did not really flesh out his entire story until like for a few years. But Dr. Doom is the sole monarch of a fictional European company, a country called Latveria. Now, when he was younger, he was sent to the United States to study, and he and Reed Richards were kind of rivals in college. Now, a lot of different things bring about Dr. Doom's origin or whatever, how he became what he is and what his powers are. I know he can control like electricity and all these other things, but most of it is that he also got exposed to these cosmic rays. Another story is that he was an orphan and was taught magic and stuff by these people in Latveria. There's all these different things, but at the end of the day, Dr. Doom is also a genius like Reed Richards, and then he's got powers. And he has to wear his mask because supposedly it got molded onto his face or something like that, which doesn't make a lot of sense when you cast at the time Julian McMahon, who's a very handsome actor to be Dr. Doom.
Wasn't he on some show? Some Nip porn Top. Show on FX? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's what's his name? Ryan Murphy's first big show.
Oh, okay. All right. I never saw it. My wife liked
it. Oh, yes. It was great until it wasn't. And that's every Ryan Murphy show ever made. Yeah.
That's what I should say. She liked it to a point.
Dr. Doom becomes the kind of main villain of the Fantastic Four all throughout its creation. Now, something else that especially Jack Kirby, really liked all this cosmic sci-fi stuff. He liked thinking about the stars and what everything was. And so they decided to create, to kind of get the Fantastic Four as Reed tries to figure out about these cosmic rays and stuff. They wanted to create more cosmic villains. And so I think it was around Fantastic Four had been around like 3 or 4 years. They create Galactus. Now, do you know anything about Galactus?
Planet Eater, right?
Yes.
And okay. I think I know that via the Bobby Moynihan podcast, or you told me about it. I don't know why I would know that otherwise.
My son
told me about it.
Galactus is a being who comes and feasts on planets because that's the only way it can survive. Mm-hmm. Its story is
what's his face?
Unicron.
Transformers movie. Yes. Yeah, Unicron.
Yeah, Unicron is
voice of Orson Welles.
Unicron is a direct ripoff of Galactus. Galactus, the story of him is in a reality before our reality, he was spared or escaped destruction. And in the Big Bang, he bonded with something called like the Eternity and became, but the price of bonding with that is he has to go devour planets, is what he has to do.
Transformers fully ripped out.
Yes. And Galactus, when you see him, he's this big, huge dude, obviously, he's usually dressed in like purple, has his weird ass helmet that's got these strange horns on the side.
Yeah.
And there, again, when we get into some of the weird stuff with Fantastic Four, there's one where he's turned into a human. There's one where some future relative of Reed Richards takes control of him like a puppy.
Okay.
Yeah. But along with Galactus being a big kind of villain, it also gave rise to the Silver Surfer. Now, you've probably heard of the Silver Surfer.
in the second movie that they made with like Chiklis and Jessica Alba and, yes. and all those people, right?
Yeah.
But isn't Silver Surfer, I'm sure you'll correct me, isn't Silver Surfer like an anti-hero or something, or just mistaken?
Yeah, and look, I've not seen the new Fantastic Four movie. I have a feeling this is a story they are going to tell. But the Silver Surfer, the original Silver Surfer, and Doug Jones did the physical work, and Lawrence
Everybody
Fishburne.
Everybody knows who Doug Jones is if you're like, who's that?
Yeah. Oh. And Lawrence Fishburne did the voice. It is probably okay. far and away the best thing about that movie. In that, well, I'm going to say that till the second half, that what I think about that movie. But the Silver Surfer is a herald. Now, his planet, Galactus, came to go devour his planet. And he was this, like, another really smart guy. And he, to spare his planet, he agreed to search the galaxy for planets that Galactus could eat.
When you say all this stuff, it's because Will Hines plays a character on Comedy Bang Bang whose job it is to find planets for this person to eat.
Yes.
They constantly badger him, like, you're killing me. Anyway, yeah, so.
So you know more than you think, Ty.
Well, I was going to say, all these podcast hosts who read all this stuff, they end up doing this. And I'm like, oh, I've heard a version of that before. So you're right. I do know more than I
Yeah. That's the Silver Surfer's. Now, in the first issue with Galactus, Silver Surfer goes to Earth and says, tells the Fantastic Four, your planet has been marked for death. And they're like, well, that's no good. And they have to figure out what they're going to do. And finally, at the end, they basically appeal to the Silver Surfer's humanity, and the Silver Surfer is able to defeat or get Galactus away. And as punishment, Galactus puts the Silver Surfer, has to be tied to Earth forever. So when you talk about an anti-hero, most people are like, wait, Silver Surfer is not the bad guy. But that's the story of him.
Okay.
And then his girlfriend ends up from his previous planet, ends up becoming the Silver Surfer, and all the nerd boys that are all mad that the Silver Surfer's a girl in the new Fantastic Four movie. There's been a lady Silver Surfer for 50 years, okay?
Also, who cares? This is all fantastical make-believe. Like, come on.
Of course they care. So that's kind of the core. That's the core of the Fantastic Four. This is a comic book that has gone on since 1961. It's started, it's stopped, it's created these iconic villains. But the heroes, they're not as quite iconic. I mean, again, we think of, when we think of the great Marvel heroes, even before the MCU, everybody thought of Spider-Man, okay?
Iron Man is what first came to mind.
But even Iron Man was not that big until the movie.
I was going to say, I think with me, the reason why I think Iron Man is because I wasn't a comic book reader, but I saw that first Iron Man and loved it. So I think that's why I think Iron Man first.
Yo, and absolutely. Nowadays, it is a big deal.
I didn't know who Black Panther was until that movie came out. That's probably either that or Guardians of the Galaxy or Ragnarok are my favorite Marvel movies.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, speaking of the Black...
I didn't know anything about Thor either.
Speaking of the Black Panther first appeared in a Fantastic Four story.
So I guess what you said at the beginning is true, is like this the Fantastic Four spawned all of this other stuff, it seems like. It seems like this was the first, and then everything followed after.
Yeah, and Spider-Man, things like Spider-Man, the Hulk, even most of the X-Men, they're all kind of separate. They would obviously cross over, but like Spider-Man wasn't introduced in a Fantastic Four comic, but Black Panther was.
Oh, okay.
As was the Skrulls, the shape-shifting alien race, I think it was.
They were in the Captain Marvel.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Kree, which is who they're in the first Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
Yeah.
Ronan the Accuser, that's first in Fantastic Four. The Inhumans, which was a terrible ABC TV show, like a couple years back. It was so bad they didn't even put it on Disney Plus.
Oh, wow.
That came out of the Fantastic Four. So, and I could go through the list. I mean, some of these I've heard of because I know people in the comics, but people that first got started on Fantastic Four, like I said, Stan Lee, Jack Kirby. You also have Jerry Conway, Marv Wolfman, John Romita Sr., George Perez. These are some of the, John Byrne. These are some of the most influential comic book writers ever. And they all basically got their start here.
Gotcha.
The other thing, I'll kind of end the first half on this, is with all the cosmic stuff and things like that, the Fantastic Four also introduced the Negative Zone. Now,
Okay.
The negative zone is much like in DC, for people to know, like the Phantom Zone. It's this like place of pure negative energy. And it becomes
Did they do a Phantom Zone in the Lego Batman movie?
Oh, yeah. Is that absolutely.
What people? Okay.
Yeah. The negative zone would give rise to one of my favorite named bad guys ever, Annihilus.
Ooh, that is a cool name.
Who's another big time. So Annihilus, the negative zone, all this stuff. This was originally going to be Guardians of the Galaxy 3. And Gunn decided he wanted to go with the High Evolutionary instead and kind of changed around. But the reason I just bring it up is because these are ideas that have not been touched in the Marvel Cinematic Universe yet. And I'm going to talk about some of that in the second half, what I think is good and bad and what they may do. And what might, I might even predict what happens in the future. Here, your thoughts on the future here. So people listen to this are like, oh, they must have the script for Fantastic Four new movie and they're ruining it.
Yeah, we're that high up that we get scripts.
And stuff like this gets explored in Spider-Man, in Iron Man and things like that. They've all been to the negative zone numerous times. Everything that created kind of the Marvel world that we think of comes from the original Fantastic Four comics. Hello, all. This is RD, and I wanted to come in and say this episode of the Ex-Millennial Man podcast is sponsored by our Patreon. Go to patreon.com and look up Ex-Millennial Man podcast. You go there to help support Ty and I support the show, but it also we're bringing out some exclusive content here for our patrons. So please come on over. Also, have some ideas for maybe a few giveaways, because don't you all want to be rocking your Ex-Millennial Man t-shirt, beanie, hat, whatever it may be. And also the show is brought to you by Public Form Productions. That's a network of podcasts that the Ex-Millennial Man is part of, along with First Watch Rewatch, High Heels and Politics, and then coming soon, A History of the 1980 Satanic Panic. So again, patreon.com, Ex-Millennial Man, Public Form Productions. Thank you, and let's get back to the conversation. Okay, Ty, before I get to television, cartoons, movies, and things like that, I do have to talk a little bit about some of the more, I don't want to say comedic, but some of the legacies that the Fantastic Four has given us. Now, I am not excusing this, all right? And we are talking about comics have always been pretty forward-thinking. Mm-hmm. Again, the very first African-American superhero was introduced in the Fantastic Four comic. So, and that was in the 1960s. I'm going to tell you about a few comic stories of Fantastic Four had when it relates to the Invisible Girl Sue Storm. Now, once again, this is a woman, okay? This is a grown woman, yet they call her the Invisible Girl. That's your first problem. But
that shouldn't have happened.
And they end up, because again, I could go really deep. They end up Sue and Reed Richards do get married. They do have a couple of children. One of those children is considered like the most powerful being in all of the Marvel universe, Franklin Richards, but
I've never even heard of that person.
Yeah, it's again, I'm not going to go into this. Okay, people, all right.
Yep, yeah.
People want to yell about the Nullifier and all this other stuff. Fine, I read it all. I just want to none of this is going to be in the movie. Okay, I just wanted a top down view. But then you're also later introduced to Nathaniel Richards, who's Reed's time traveling father. He is Kane the Conqueror, essentially.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
is that going to be in the new movie?
I highly doubt it. I highly doubt it.
Issues going on with Jonathan Majors, but have they recast that role yet of Kang?
No, but you know the idea with Kang is he can be so many different variants, so they could just make somebody else. I know somebody had recommended the kid who's on Fallout, who plays the soldier. I know.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember his name. I like that actor on Fallout.
Yeah. So there's been a little bit of talk with that. But again, there's all these different things that I could go into. I don't want to go into it, okay?
Yeah, I do
want to talk about some Fantastic Four comics that refer to Sue. The very first one, she is already kind of like, you stay over there because you're a lady, all right? And let the men, and let the men do things. Now, I'm going to read you, Ty. This is from a comic book resource article about the 10 worst things Mr. Fantastic ever did to the Invisible Woman. Now,
his wife.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Now, they did end up calling her the Invisible Woman as time went on. But I'm going to read this panel here. You have Reed saying, try to break them up, honey. See if you can find the tranquilizer gun. And she's like, don't get too near them, darling. And then Reed says, stop sounding like a wife and find me that gun, lady.
Oh, God.
Now, that's not good. There are many times where Sue and Reed get into arguments. And almost every time, it's Reed at the end saying, "I'm sorry, baby. Maybe you just shouldn't talk that much."
Really?
Yes.
That's brutal, man. Now, I don't understand. Like, and then you didn't, Stan Lee didn't write these, did he? Or was he just?
Oh, yeah. He probably.
He was the writer of this.
Yeah. So. He and Jack Kirby would share. Jack Kirby is mostly the cartoonist, but yeah. Now, probably the most famous one. Now, you've probably seen the meme a million times of Batman slapping Robin.
Yes.
So there is a very, very violent panel of Reed yelling, "Susan, I said shut up," and him just flat out giving her all five fingers and just slapping her. Now, to be fair,
jeez Louise, man.
To be fair, she was possessed by some entity, and he had the only way to get it out of her was to slap it out of her.
So. Seems to me that the writers of these were like trying to work out some personal issues.
Yeah. Also, one of the biggest things is there's a Fantastic Four story, I think in like the 90s or early 2000s, where Reed figures out that the cosmic rays, whatever they took, was slowly killing them. He tells Ben, he tells Johnny, he doesn't tell his wife.
What? That would be the first person you tell. Could you imagine like telling mom and dad and not telling our spouses that we had some kind of thing going on?
Yeah.
Are just like telling our brothers and not telling our spouse that we had something going on. That's insanity to me, man.
So Reed has never been portrayed in the comics as a model husband. All right. And again, one of their kids ends up becoming like God Jesus or something, or I don't know. But it's, I think that's part of the reason this has never translated as well over. And the Fantastic Four have always kind of been this background group. I mean, it's the Fantastic Four. It's not Reed Richards, Sue Storm, Johnny Storm, all this other stuff. Now, they have been in a lot of different cartoons. They've been in a variety of variations of background things. I know either Reed or the whole team is a big deal in the Old Man Logan storyline. That's what Logan. That's what Logan's based off of.
I don't remember them in that.
No, they're not. They're not.
Oh, okay.
And this is a reason why. So Marvel went bankrupt in the early 1990s, and they ended up selling off all of their rights to their superheroes, but they did it by individual superheroes. And the only ones that were really gathered or that really were picked up was Canon Films picked up Spider-Man, and they never got their movie made because the heads of Canon Films didn't understand why the script wasn't making him turn into a spider at the end.
Oh, did they just want Italian Spider-Man?
Pretty much. And Canon ended up eventually losing the rights to it, and Sony bought the rights to Spider-Man. 20th Century Fox, they bought the rights to the X-Men and the Fantastic Four. Everything else was just kind of left around, its rights just floating in the wind until, and this is after Batman, all right? This is after Tim Burton's Batman. People thought, oh, maybe we could make superhero stuff, but nobody felt like any of the Marvel stuff was any good. Until finally Sony made the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies. And
first two movies are great.
Yeah.
Third one, not so much.
Thought of going back to rewatch it to see if it's really as bad as I remember, but it probably is.
It's my son went through watching all of Spider-Man's recently. And when he watched at 13 years old, he likes pretty much anything. And he did not like that movie.
Yeah. Now, somebody who did pick up a lot of these rights, though, early on was Roger Corman and his company, Constantine Film. Now, there are two very, very famous instances of them making movies that they never released. They just made them because the rules of having the rights is you have to make a movie. I think it's like every 10 years. You have to do something with a property like every 7 or 10 years, or you lose its rights. So famously, Constantine Films made a Captain America movie and a Fantastic Four movie that they never planned to release.
Okay.
You go over to First Watch Rewatch, and I will do a much deeper dive into this 1994 Fantastic Four movie. But I will tell the audience here, again, Corman, the director, none of these people ever intended to release this movie. But the actors all thought they were making a real movie. And this was like the first step for a lot. No, they even went on a media tour.
Oh, that is wrong. Like, that's so wrong to those poor actors.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And like I said, I talk a lot more about that when we do First Watch Rewatch. After Constantine essentially lost the rights to it and 20th Century Fox picked it up, they immediately put a Fantastic Four movie into production. And originally they hired director Chris Columbus to adapt it and create it. It ended up going to director Tim Story. So Tim Story, he was known for the movies Barbershop. He did the movie Taxi that had Queen Latifah.
I like that first Barbershop movie.
He's gone on, he's had a career. He's still making movies. But prior to this, he'd done Barbershop, which is a very, very well-respected movie. A lot of people...
Not Chris Columbus, though.
No, he's not. And again, that is going to be part of the story of all of this stuff. This was a big-budget film. They ended up, after they got Tim Story, they cast it. They got Yon Gruffudd, who he was a pretty well-known like British actor, or he'd done like a bunch of British miniseries and stuff. He's somebody else that's gone on. I know he was on The Crown or something like that.
Oh, all right.
But he was he wasn't a superhero actor, but he was a respectable actor. They got Jessica Alba to play Sue Storm. Michael Chiklis, who was on The Shield, a big star there, which I don't know why they're getting all these FX guys, because Michael Chiklis was the thing. Julian McMahon, who was on Nip Tuck, really attractive dude. They decided to put him behind the Doctor Doom mask. Chris Evans, who at this time had really only had Not Another Teen Movie.
Movie is so good. I love that. I will take no slander towards Not Another Teen.
No, that movie is great.
I love that. And he is phenomenal.
Here's the thing. This first Fantastic Four movie, I don't think it's that bad.
It's pretty bad from what I've seen.
I somewhat enjoy it. It's pretty true. The problem is, of course, Julian McMahon is playing this iconic villain, and he almost never puts a mask on because he's Julian McMahon. He's good looking. But Chris Evans, well, Jessica Alba, Michael Chiklis, they're all really good in this movie.
Yeah. But like what took me out of it from I've only seen probably, I'd say, a quarter, maybe a third of the movie. Doesn't the Thing have like a relationship with, I want to say it's Kerry Washington?
I think it is.
Girlfriend in the movie.
Yeah, and she's blind.
And I felt like, and she's blind. And that's what I was like. And maybe that was in the comic books and I just don't know about it, but that really took me out of the whole thing. Just that whole, because Carrie, again, you say with Julian McMahon, this handsome dude, they never put him behind a mask because he's handsome. And then Kerry Washington, we're going to make her blind because that's the only way somebody will date this monstrosity thing. Like, I don't know. And Jessica Alba, I like what she's done with her career and everything she's doing now, but she's not a very good actor.
No.
In my opinion.
So. The thing I'm going to say about this movie, though, is pretty true to the story. I think part of the problem is Reed Richards, Yon Gruffudd, I don't think is great.
Do a good job. No. Yeah, he's not. And he's very boring.
Yeah, and this is also the problem I think they had with the early X-Men movie, is they're trying to make them updated. They're not like putting them in their original
movie.
Yeah, but they're not putting them in their original suits. And look how happy everybody was to see Wolverine, not just in his original suit, but put his hood on. I mean, that's part of the problem some of these early movies had, is like, we don't want them to be too comic booky. And I think the Fantastic Four is a good example of this. Now, it did well. It did very well.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 2 years later, sequel. Big budget sequel comes out, Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer. This is who people want to see. This is, I mean, you already have Doctor Doom. They want to see these iconic villains. And next in line is Silver Surfer and Galactus. And it's the same story of the Silver Surfer coming to Earth saying your planet has been marked for destruction and Galactus is going to come. Now, do you know anything about Galactus in this movie?
No, like I told you, my only knowledge of the character like this is Unicron. So this is all brand new.
So I told you before, Galactus is supposed to be this big comic booky thing wearing this purple suit, this weird helmet with horns. It's when you see him, it's kind of iconic. In the trailer for the new movie, it first off shows his shadow and it's that helmet. And then at the end of the
new one that's coming out in a couple months,
yeah,
you're saying.
Yeah, the one with Pedro Pascal.
Yeah.
And the trailer ends with this giant purple boot coming down on New York City. So we obviously know Galactus is supposed to look like Galactus in the new one. In this version, Galactus was just a big cloud.
A cloud?
A cloud. That's it.
That what? That doesn't make any sense.
And I'm going to give Tim Story a lot of credit here, okay? Tim Story wanted to do traditional Galactus. And 20th Century Fox is like, no, that looks stupid. So he did sneak into the movie, like when the cloud is coming inside, the cloud is like a fire burning. And there's the outline of the Galactus helmet in that fire. So he did the best he could. All right.
Sometimes the studio gives too many notes, you know.
It was the movie was not well liked, and it kind of ended that run of the Fantastic Four.
And I feel like what you said early on is the only, I only saw very little of it because I just wasn't interested in it at the time. But the only positive, if you want to even call it that, stuff I saw was the Silver Surfer stuff.
Yeah.
In that movie.
Oh, the Silver Surfer looks great. Looks really good. This was 2007. The clock started to tick. 20th Century Fox did not want to lose the rights to it, so they put another movie in production to be released in 2015. They found a young, up-and-coming director named Josh Trank.
Yep.
Who Josh Trank had a huge hit with a movie called Chronicle.
Love that movie. That movie is very good.
And I told you off mic, I listened to a podcast called The Big Flop. It's on Wondery's network. And they just did one on the Josh Trank Fantastic Four. And I encourage
people. This cast should have worked.
Oh no, it's incredible. I mean, this is one of those situations where the studio had an idea, the director had a different idea, and all they did was fight. And the movie we got, like a lot of people say the movie we got is not Josh Trank's movie. Now, having said that, Josh Trank hasn't had much of a career after this because he is supposedly extremely difficult to work with and kind of an ass.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
But they brought in Miles Teller, who I think this is fresh off of like Whiplash, to be Reed Richards, Kate Mara to play Sue Storm, Michael B. Jordan to play Johnny Storm, Jamie Bell to play The Thing, and Toby Kebbler to play Dr. Doom. Now, these are all young, good actors, and all of these people have had good careers.
Well, and you mentioned Whiplash with Miles Teller. Michael B. Jordan is probably coming off of The Wire and the Friday Night Lights TV show. Like that, Jamie Bell was in a ton of movies leading up to that. And Kate Mara is Kate Mara. Mm-hmm. She's a good actor.
So this is a problem with this Fantastic Four. It's way too dark and way too serious. And it changes. Instead of them going to space, the Reed Richards creates a machine that they go to another dimension. And
it is comically dramatic.
Yes. And it's all like body horror and all this weird stuff. And it's, again, you could tell this movie was not the director's vision, even if the director's vision was right or wrong. It's not. It's cut up. It's bad. It did terrible. Got horrible reviews. Yeah. People were just like, no. And it's just this idea that you can't make the Fantastic Four work.
Yeah.
Well, finally, in the early 2020s, 20th Century Fox sold its entire movie business over to Disney. So that means now Disney gets the X-Men and the Fantastic Four. Mm-hmm. They've already made a deal with Sony for Spider-Man. They don't own Spider-Man, but they get to put Spider-Man in their movie. So basically, Disney now gets all of Marvel.
Yeah.
And everybody is waiting for, when is the Fantastic Four coming out? And Disney keeps talking about, oh, we're going to do a Fantastic Four movie. We're going to do it. But in the meantime, they throw John Krasinski in a little scene in Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness as Reed Richards.
Reed Richards,
and everybody's like, oh, he's going to be the new Reed Richards. And Disney's like, no. And Deadpool and Wolverine. Chris Evans shows up in probably one of the greatest bait and switches ever.
He's going to save.
Not as Steve Rogers, Captain America. He is Johnny Storm, the Human Torch. Who gets all his skin ripped off.
Yeah, that scene with him before he gets his skin ripped off that they show in the end credits where Chris Evans is saying all the stuff that Deadpool said he said. That was awesome.
But finally, after years of them teasing and going on and saying they're going to do a Fantastic Four movie, they, in 2019, that Kevin Feige came out, I think it was at a Comic-Con or something, and said, we are going to be making a Fantastic Four movie. It is on the schedule. They had a couple of people, John Watts, who did the first of the new Spider-Man movies. He was going to direct, but he dropped out. And it kept going back and forth that they just didn't really have anything going. Well, in, was it 2023? Yeah. They finally started to get everything together. They've got a director. They're bringing people in. They cast Pedro Pascal as Reed Richards, Vanessa Kirby as the Invisible Woman, Joseph Quinn, who's hot off of Stranger Things.
He was also in Quiet Place Day One.
Yeah, as a Human Torch. And then Eben Moss Bachrock. I think I said that right.
You got it. Yeah. I believe so.
As Ben Grimm, The Thing. This is a pretty stellar cast.
Yeah.
Julia Garner is going to play the Lady Silver Surfer. Ralph Ineson. And if you guys don't know these people, these are mostly character actors. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's playing Galactus. John Malkovich, Paul Walter Hauser, and Natasha Lyonne are also in this movie. We don't know who they play.
Natasha Lyonne's having a moment. I love that she's having a moment.
And they decided they're going to make it a period piece. It's going to be set in the 1960s, like the original Fantastic Four.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go see the trailer for the Fantastic Four, The First Steps, they're in their classic light blue outfits. The Thing looks like The Thing, not some kind of weird body horror rock monster or something like that. Johnny Storm looks like he's a younger guy and looks like he's kind of a
twerp.
Yeah, exactly. I do know that Sue Storm and Reed Richards are married in this movie. They have the robot Herbie. They have the Baxter Building. It's all the original Fantastic Four stuff. Now, having said that, Ty.
Who's directing it?
So Matt Shankman is directing it. What Matt Shankman is probably most known for and probably got him this job is he was the lead director showrunner for WandaVision.
Oh, okay.
But he's directed episodes of Succession, The Boys, Game of Thrones, Fargo. He's
okay.
Yeah, this is his first big movie role. And look, the truth of it is Disney likes to have a little bit of control over their directors when it comes to Marvel movies. And
yeah.
But it's a good cast. It's a good crew. How excited are you for this movie, Ty?
It'll be cool. I like Pedro Pascal. I like Eben Moss-Bacharach, like I said, with Natasha Lyonne. That all sounds cool to me. It doesn't move me one way or another. I'm more excited about the Naked Gun movie that Akiva Schaffer directed. Because that's the type of stuff I like. Or John Wick 5 or Ballerina. Like, that's the stuff I want to see. I haven't given up because I do like Deadpool and Wolverine. I'm going to watch Thunderbolts when it's streaming. But the sense and like this, oh, I got to see this movie when it comes out. I'm kind of over that. And I think your wife says it right. I just don't like doing homework with movies. Like, even when I went to see Deadpool and Wolverine, I knew of the TVA because my wife and I watched the first season of Loki, but I didn't realize how deep that all got. Speaking of the TVA, the girl who's in Deadpool and Wolverine mm-hmm. was the same girl who was in Sinners, which she's awesome in both movies. But I'm not super overly excited to see it. That being said, my son, who's 13 and just recently got back into superhero stuff, he's all in. He's ready to go. He's very excited about seeing this movie. Me, not so much.
Okay, so this is the part of the podcast. I'm going to end it with some of my thoughts on this, and then I am going to talk about the end credit scene of Thunderbolts. Now, it's not going to ruin anything about that movie, okay?
Yeah.
But because I'm just going to bring up one little part of it. And also, Marvel's end credit scenes are supposed to set up the next movie.
Yep.
Everything I just told you, all that stuff about the Fantastic Four and Reed slapping Sue and Annihilus and the Negative Zone and all these other things. The thing I have not talked about when it came to this movie is the Fantastic Four's number one villain, which is Dr. Doom.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it has already been said that the Russo brothers are going to direct the next two Avengers movies, which the first one, Avengers Doomsday, is next year. And by that name, you think Dr. Doom has something to do with it. And Robert Downey Jr., who we still need to figure out how the hell they're going to pull this off story-wise, has already been cast to play Victor Von Doom.
Mm-hmm. Iron Man died in Endgame.
Right. You just That's what up. I say. We're going to, and I'm going to get to one of my problems here soon. Okay.
All right.
Dr. Doom, who is the Fantastic Four's main villain, okay, he is Lex Luthor. He is Superman to Lex Luthor. He is the Green Goblin to Spider-Man.
Lex Luthor to Superman.
Right, right. He is not the main villain of this movie. Galactus is. Now, I understand they want to make this period piece. They want to make it this thing. And look, what better way to set up your new level of superheroes than to have them defeating a world-eating monster?
Nah.
Who's not a cloud this time. But I already know something about this movie and that you're all going to know, too. And I apologize if it's going to piss you all off. But this movie is supposed to take place in the 1960s. Again, it's very, very stylized. Thunderbolts takes place now.
Mm-hmm.
In the end credits, one of the characters is like, there's something going on in space. What's in space? And they're like, here, show it on screen. And you see this very retro looking spaceship. Okay. And they're like, what is that? And the spaceship turns and you see the logo for the Fantastic Four.
Mm-hmm.
Ty, I already know that whatever reality or whatever that this movie is not the reality of the MCU. It's not the reality of what Disney's been telling us for years. So this movie seems kind of freaking pointless. And my hope is they have to leave their reality because Galactus ate Earth.
Oh, so you want it to be a, I you know, that wouldn't be so bad, I don't think. Like,
no, I think at the end, if they defeat Galactus and all and then decide, oh, we're going to go to another reality, I don't like that. But
yeah, no, I agree.
And I don't care. And I've said this a lot about like the G.I. Joe Snake Eyes movie. I enjoy that movie. The problem is I understand this with G.I. Joe. So if I'm sitting here watching this Fantastic Four movie, there's no stakes because I know they're going to some other different reality because they even say at the end credits scene, they go, oh, it's an interdimensional ship.
Okay. Yeah. Like, yeah. That's what I was going to say. I think it was Infinity War. Like, I remember when Thanos did the snap and 50% of the people died. If you see Black Panther dusting away and the whole scene between Iron Man and Spider-Man, I remember turning to my wife in the theater scene and I'd be like, it would be a baller move if they actually killed off those people and brought in Captain Marvel and all these other people that they were talking about. They didn't do that. And I love the scene where Falcon says on your left, yeah, to Captain America and everything. But yeah, if you're building up this movie and there's all this anticipation, but then you go see Thunderbolts and you get this final scene that's just essentially telling you they win. I agree with you. Like, why do you have to go see this movie? Just go watch Doomsday. If yeah, that's what you want to see instead.
And it may be good. It may be great. I'm not trying to put a big wet blanket on a multi-million-dollar, $100 million movie that it just, it's like sometimes I want Disney to get out of its way. Okay. Mm-hmm. I know a Fantastic Four movie is coming because I saw the trailer for it before I watched Thunderbolts.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to essentially, and I know I probably ruined it for some people. I personally don't care. I mean, it's not, has nothing to do with the movie that I had seen. But it's this idea of, ooh, here's our next thing. And it's like, wait a second. So to me, if they have to leave because Galactus wins, I'm going to be like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that would be interesting to see, especially because I'm sure, would Doomsday not take place on Earth then, though?
Well, I'm assuming it's going to, I mean, you know how at the end of every Marvel movie, they're like, so-and-so will be back.
And we'll return, yeah.
Yeah, and they did say the Thunderbolts, or again, everybody knows this because it's on the news, the new Avengers.
It's not only on the news, it's on the poster now. It doesn't say Thunderbolts, no, it says New Avengers.
They do say the new Avengers will return in Avengers Doomsday. But, Ty, that is the Fantastic Four.
It's an interesting story now, and you talked about it. I'm very interested to watch this Roger Corman one to see what that's all about.
Yeah, it is. Of the four Fantastic Four movies we have, it's the best, and that's not great praise.
No, yeah, that's damning with faint praise, as I say.
All right, well, when they need you to play Annihilus in their like third movie, Ty, where are they going to find you?
Facebook and Instagram, Ty Kulik, TyKulik, all lowercase. Check out my stuff on SeedSing, SeedSing.com, pop culture, sports, all that type of stuff is on there, movie reviews, everything like that. You can hear me on a few episodes of Chucklehead Chat, hosted by our buddy Glenn Adams. I've actually talked to him recently about stuff. He wants me to do some quote-unquote homework, and I think I might be recording with him soon. But you can find that wherever you get podcasts. We mentioned it, First Watch Rewatch. I love doing it. I'm excited to watch this movie to see what it's all about. Like, that's what I found with First Watch Rewatch, that even if I don't like the movie, there's a lot to talk about. So I've been enjoying doing that. And I'm seeing a lot of stuff that I probably never would have seen before. Check out our Patreon. Chip in a few dollars if you can. That would be great. But most importantly, you can hear me on this podcast, the Ex-Millennial Man podcast. Rate, review us, tell your friends about us. And as always, Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, repeat all that, Seed saying Ex-Millennial Man. I don't want you guys to get this squared one way or the other. I will see this movie the weekend it opens.
I'm sure I will too with my kid.
And it may be good. I'm a few weeks away from turning 50, so maybe I'm getting that old man yelling at cloud energy.
You're also
going
tepid of it though too, man.
Yeah,
you've researched this.
And please, I said at the beginning, if I get something wrong, I have no problem being corrected. I don't need some of the adjectives that are used to describe myself or anything or my intelligence.
It's not so fun to be called an idiot about an opinion that you have. I'm speaking to you, Nikola Jokic fans.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a good basketball player. I prefer other people.
Yeah, I got beat by 50 the other night.
So. I prefer to watch other basketball players. You don't have to. I get it. You want to, for people who comment, if you wanted to talk to me, be nice.
Yeah.
And I'll respond. That's all you got to do.
Well, that's a good way to end it. With all that being said, we thank you for your ears. Anything else that you may use to listen to the Ex-Millennial Man podcast? Remember, we're here every Saturday for free, where you find your fine podcasting shows. And it's not what the thing doesn't say Hulk smash. It says it's clobbering time. So it's clobbering time, Todd.
Stay fresh, cheese bags.
पूजिले अथांग स्वप्न लोचनी कणा कणात देखिले तुसे स्वरूप दर्पणी.
The Ex-Millennial Man podcast is a production of SeedSane.com, fully owned by R.D. Kulik & Associates, LLC. Producers Ty Kulik and Ryan Kulik, adequately engineered by Ryan Kulik.